Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all out here this morning. Yeah, and we sure do thank the Lord for the good meeting we had and good preaching. Seems like the Lord's just surrounded our church with good people and good people to come in and help us. And you just don't get that everywhere. I mean, if you're not figured that out yet. You stay in this long enough, go enough places, you'll realize it's not like this everywhere.
That's right.
And we're thankful. I mean, don't want to take it for granted, for sure. But we're still here in 1 John chapter 4. And go ahead and mark your place back over there in Hebrews chapter 10 again. We'll try to continue some of that thought from last week. Lord willing, we're looking at... been looking at the first three verses here of 1 John chapter 4. You may think, man, why is he spending so much time here? But the reality of it is this is exactly where we're at in churches today. Is a place where, I mean, you go into a church, you just don't know what you're going to get, what's liable to be said. And just like Jordan said, I mean, I appreciate a pastor that will guard against those things, because you just don't ever know about people.
Sure.
Just the reality of it. I mean, until you've been around them for a while, you just don't know what they're liable to do, what they're liable to say, what kind of spirit's in them. And so 1 John chapter number 4. Verse number 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." And so what we're dealing with is this passage is teaching us that not everything that claims to be right is right. And not everything that claims to be of God is of God. And so we've got to be able as a church to understand the difference in what is true and what isn't. And as we've said in the past, the only way I know how is through this right here, through the Word of God. That's what we depend on. That's what God's preserved for us. But as we look here, mainly today in verse number 2 once again, he says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." And so last week we started laboring this fact is that this what the Spirit confesses is so important, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So there's a lot more to that, John, than just a few words. What he's saying there is that Christ is who he said he was. And that's the importance that we understand when we're looking at this passage. And this is the message of the true Spirit of God, is that Christ is who he said he was. Sure. And he came to do what he said he came to do. And nothing more, nothing less. Just what he said he came to do is what he came to do. And so the true Spirit is what we're looking at here. And so last week we started talking about how we know if the message that we're hearing is the true Spirit speaking. If somebody is full of the Holy Ghost speaking, or if it's just somebody shooting off the hip, Brother Kim, essentially is what I'm getting at. And so, first off, we looked at how in Hebrews 10 how that it's a simple message. The message is real simple, and the message is Jesus Christ. He is the message. So, I mean, it's real simple. We need Him. He came to die for us, and I appreciate the simple gospel that he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. I mean, that's what it's about. It's just a single message, how that there's no other message. He is the message. And if we try to add to it, take away, Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the Scripture explicitly says, if you're going to get the message, this is the only one that's available. And if a spirit preaches any other message, then it's the wrong one. It's the wrong one. It's that simple. And we just got to be very careful and guard ourselves. John 14:6, we all hopefully know, I am the way, Jesus said. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's a simple message, single message. Last week, man, I'm thankful that it was a satisfying message.
Oh, yes.
We heard so beautifully this week, Isaiah 53 preached, and how that the Bible said he shall see the travail of his soul, and he'll be what?
Satisfied. Right.
God wasn't satisfied with me, and he wasn't satisfied with you, but there was one he was satisfied with, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can't satisfy him. We heard that. Did we not hear that so good this week? No sense in us even laboring to do that, because we can't. We just need to get in this thing and enjoy it.
Yes.
And do the best we can to honor the Lord and understand it at our best. It'll never be good enough. But Christ at his best was sufficient. It was sufficient. And so because that he satisfied God, he was able to save you and I. Because of that, he became the propitiation. That was that satisfaction of the wrath of God. That's why we can be saved. So the message is a saving message. And I'm glad, just like it was said, once again, man, all week it was just all over this. But it's a message to the whole world. We're not Calvinists here. It's whosoever will, let him come. And God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. It's to whoever. Whoever wants to be saved can be saved. And I'm thankful that we don't have to, when we go knock on doors, I don't have to worry, Kevin, whether or not God's chosen them or whatever. We just knock on them and say, hey, we're here to tell you that the Lord wants to save you.
Hey, right.
And we don't have to worry about it, Dustin. God made a way they could be. He made provision for every man. Now, whether or not they choose to accept that, that's on them. But it's a saving message, and we ended last week with the fact that it's also a sanctifying message. In chapter 10, verse 10 of Hebrews there, it said, by the which will we are sanctified. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Folks, if you're born again, you've been sanctified.
Right.
You've been set apart. The Bible says we are hid with Christ in God. He's put us in a place that you and I can't get out of. He set us in a spot, and we're already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Man, we're in a perfect spot, but not only did He sanctify us when He saved us, but He didn't just start a work and quit. But, you know, we say so often, Philippians 1:6 teaches us that he will perform that work. But he says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
That don't mean you got to work to figure out whether you're saved, but it's what's in you. It is your job to bring it out. But you're not on your own. The next verse says this. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yes.
So being sanctified doesn't mean that you have to live a miserable life. What it's saying is, John, we just have to put aside what we want to do and let God do what he wants to do inside of us. He's already doing it. It's God's pleasure to put in us a will and to do. And all we've got to do is just allow the Spirit to work. But it's a sanctifying message. Jesus Christ, don't let anybody ever fool you. We'll look at this a little more in a minute. But don't let anybody ever fool you that when they get saved that there's no difference.
Right. Sure, brother.
You can't be in Christ and not be a difference.
Right.
And there's a lot of people, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's a lot of people today that like the part where Christ is loving and he's the Savior.
Yes.
But Dustin, they don't like the word that goes before Jesus Christ. They don't like the part where it says, Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll just tell you, from what I understand in Scripture, if you don't ever get to the point where you see Him as Lord, you can't really grasp Him as Savior.
That's right.
If He wasn't Lord, He couldn't be Savior. Mm-hmm. That's just the truth of it. Now, you can say, well, I don't like that. You say, you know, there's people that call that Lordship salvation.
Sure.
That's what they would call it. They'd put us in that. But I don't know how else to take the Scripture. And we'll get there here in just a little bit. But it is a sanctifying message. He does make a difference. But not only is it sanctifying, but it's a sent message. And we're finally back here in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, he says in verse number 5, he says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared. So God sent him into the world. He prepared him a body. He goes on to say in verse number 7 and verse 9, he says, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. So it was God that sent Christ. There was a purpose in him coming. He sent him to you and I. And Galatians 4, 4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It's a sent message to the world, to you and I. You see, the message could have been in heaven, and you and I could have never got it. But God chose to send the message. And the message is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He came in the flesh. God sent Him, as we already said, John 3:17, that the world through Him might be saved. Over and over, and I mentioned this, I can't help ever but get ahead of myself when I'm doing this. You just find yourself reaching out ahead where before you want to get there, and I'm sorry. But last week I also said over 40 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that He was sent of the Father. Do you reckon that was important?
Absolutely.
You see, we've all got to understand who He really was, who He is. I mean, if he ever was, He still is, but you understand what I'm saying. Jesus wanted people to understand. He said, I and my Father are one. I was sent Him. I came to do the will of Him that sent me. He wanted us to know that it was God that sent Him. He wanted us to know that He was God in the flesh. And it was a message sent from God. It was God's love, as John 3:16 tells us. But you know, as you think about this, understand that this message is so important because God couldn't just send anybody. Brother Kim, it wouldn't have worked if He'd have just sent anybody.
Right.
There was only one.
Yes.
There was only one that could be sent. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And it wasn't something that one day occurred to God, but as we've already said, all I can say is what was said this week.
Yeah.
That He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and then it says before the foundation
That's
of the
right.
world.
Thank
it was
God.
In the mind of God from eternity past. I don't understand all that. I can't claim to. But all I know is God knew all this. Well, I don't know. He's always known. If He ever known anything, He's always known it. So it never occurred to God. I love that. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God?
Right.
Nothing. And I'm thankful that He sent His Son.
Oh, yes.
And no one else could be trusted to do what Christ did for you and I. But Ephesians 1:12 says this. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's the glory of God the Father. And then it puts this little last phrase on that verse. It says, who first trusted in Christ. You know who the first one to trust in Christ was?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't you or I.
Right.
Wasn't man. But it was God the Father entrusted the work to Christ.
That's right.
That's what the Scripture teaches us. If He is good enough for God to trust Him with the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
Why in the world would we not want to trust Him with it? People act like the plan of salvation is like a egg that can be dropped, Brother Delmer. It's so fragile. But it's in the hands of Christ.
Yes.
And you or I, yeah, I mean, we might mess up here or there, but folks, the salvation, it's not you and me. And if it was, we'd be, Yeah, we just might as well go. If it was counting on us,
yes,
we might as well fold up shop,
right,
just close this Bible, walk out them doors and never come back.
That's right.
Because our hope would be only right here in this world, in ourselves. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living this life and having to trust in your own self to get you to heaven? It'd be miserable. It's not just some of them. When you start going down the line and start really, I'm amazed, folks, how many people that I talk to on a daily, weekly basis, Jesse. I mean, I talked to one this week, and I walked into this guy's office. This is at work, and I was looking for a specific person to talk to about the Lord, but God sent me another person. And I walk in, and he's got the radio where on 90.9, this fella does, and he's sitting at his computer, and I thought, this is exciting. And you know what was playing? It was the Rochesters. He knows my name. And I thought, man, something's happened to this guy. What's going on with him? And I started talking to him, and he don't go to church nowhere or nothing. And he said, boy, I like that music. I said, yeah, it's good music. Then he got to tell me, man, I like the story behind that song too. And if you've ever listened to it, I thought, this is good. The Lord must be working on this fella. But I got there to the end, and we was talking about the Lord, and I said, his name's Adam. I said, Adam, I said, are you right with the Lord? Man. And he just hung his head. And I thought, the Lord's obviously doing something in his life and his heart right now. And the Lord put me here for such a time as this. He was by himself. And I really like that. I like it when you can get alone with somebody. And the Lord was already working in his heart with that music. I mean, you just know it. And I said, are you right with the Lord? I'm trying to get there. And of course, all this was in my heart. It was all in my heart. And I said, man, the blessing of salvation is not that you have to work to get there. It's that God sent Christ.
Yep.
And he brought it to us. And it's ours. And you can have it. And it's all in trust in Christ. And I know this is just calm.
Good.
This is a different spirit.
Good.
But it was just like, you know, all he could do was just sit there and look at me and shake his head. And I don't know how he took it. And that's between him and God. But I told him I'd be praying for him, and I hope y'all help me pray for him. But he said he wanted to get right with the Lord. But as long as he's trying to do it in himself, he'll be miserable, Nathaniel. He'll be miserable. And so many people that we talk to, Brother Dustin, it's like that. But why did God send his son if it was on us to do it? If it was up to you and I, folks, Christ had no need to come. But Christ did come. And it's all on him. The Bible says the Lord placed on him the iniquity of us all.
Yep.
He bore our sins in his own body. See, that was the importance of Christ coming in the flesh. That's why the Bible teaches us that he came. He didn't come in sinful flesh. You understand that. But the Bible says he came in likeness of sinful flesh. It says he, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So there was no sin in him. There was no guile found in his mouth.
Yes.
When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He never did nothing wrong. That's why only he could do it. That's why God trusted him with it. Sent him. Because he's the only one that could do it. And I'm glad he trusted him. I'm thankful that there was somebody that could be trusted.
Right.
Well, we'd be in bad shape if there wasn't.
You're right.
But he didn't send an angel.
No, thank God.
He didn't send a preacher. I'm thankful for preachers.
Sure.
But they can't redeem us.
No.
I talked to this one fellow one time. I'll move on, but this is the nonsense that you hear today. I had this friend up in East Tennessee one time, and I got to know him real good, and I got to asking him about the Lord, Kevin. I said, his name was Jeff. I said, Jeff, I said, are you saved? He said, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I said, yeah. I said, tell me about it. And he said, he named this preacher fella. He said, oh, so-and-so saved me. And I said, oh, no, he didn't. I said, that's not how this works. But that was what it was in his mind. And I thought, man, at least he wasn't dependent on himself, but that wasn't no better. That wasn't no better. There's salvation in no other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't count on yourself. As much as I love Brother Kevin, man alive, get up here and preach the gospel day in, day out. If just because Kevin gets down here and prays with you, he can't save you. If Kevin, God forbid something happens to him tomorrow, boy, if Kevin's the one that saves us, what happens if he dies tomorrow? What happens to your salvation if it's in him? But see, the one who holds our salvation, he's alive forevermore. He ever lives, the Bible says. So, he's eternal. You see why it had to be Christ? Why it had to be God in the flesh? That's the importance of the message of the Spirit. You see, if the Spirit, if someone's spirit veers from that and starts adding anything to who was sent, it's a dangerous doctrine. And so it's a sent message, but thankful. And this is the last thing out of this, and we'll get moved on. But there in verse number 7, the last thing I notice is that it's a settled message. It's a done deal. It's not going to be changed. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, he says, then said, lo, I come. And look what he says, in the volume of the book, it is written of who? Of me. Jordan, long ago it was already settled that it was going to be in Christ. That's what he says. He goes on in verse number 10. He says that it was once for all. If you see verse number 12, he goes on and says that one sacrifice for sins forever. Verse 13, he says from henceforth. In verse 14, he says forever. He gets down there in verse 17, he says, and no more. Do you understand what that's telling us? That in Christ, it's all settled. The message of the Spirit of God is that it is settled, but it is settled in Christ. And if you ever get in Christ, guess what happens to your debt? It is settled. And it is settled forever. But you've got to be in Christ. Got to be in Christ. He is the Word of God. In Psalm 119:89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It's settled in Christ. And it's nothing that you or I do. And it's all about what He's done. In Romans 10:4, the Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You get in Christ, you're not dependent on you no more. But you've got to get in Christ. It is settled. And this is the message of the Spirit. And this is what it says here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 15 with me. It says, it goes through all these things that we went through last week and today. In verse 15 it says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. This is what the Holy Ghost witnesses. That Christ is it. If you try to come apart from Christ, it won't work. But you get in Christ, it'll be right. It says, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And verse 18, you listen real good. It says, now where remission of these is, when your sins get remitted. He says, there is no more offering for sin. He's not saying if something happens that you lose it, that you can't get saved again. He's saying, what else is there to offer? There is nothing left to offer. God offered it all when He sent His Son. That's the message of the Holy Spirit. That Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And He came to do all of this. And that's just scratching the surface, Gavin. I mean, I can just barely scratch the surface of what all Jesus did when He came. But you see how the message that's sent out from this pulpit and from other pulpits and the message from your personal testimony, how important it is. Because if you try to sneak anything in or take anything out from Jesus Christ, you're butchering the gospel.
That's right.
And it can be detrimental to folks. Mm-hmm. So Kevin had it right when he was talking about the simplicity and the importance of one sentence. But that sentence has to be about one person.
That's right.
It has to be about Christ. It can't be about you. It can't be about them. It has to be Christ.
Yes. Yes.
I liked what Brother Andy said one night about turning over that leaf. He said, you can turn over another leaf, but that'll be just as rotten too. He had it right. You can't clean people up. Yeah, I mean you might as well not even try. It's pointless. Fruitless.
Fruitless. That's right.
You can't accomplish it. There's only one. All it do is frustrate you.
Yep.
And frustrate them.
That's right.
Don't even try. Just get them to Christ. That's all we can do. That needs to be the message of every person in this room. As we go out to our jobs, school, wherever we're at, ball game, you see somebody and you have opportunity to say something about the Lord, just make sure it's about Christ.
Yes.
Just make sure. And if it's about Him, it'll be good. It don't take a lot. He's enough. He's enough. But you'll never see somebody saved until they see Christ. It's impossible. They have to get to Christ. And we can't drag them there. We can't push them there. It's a work of God. And we just got to be so careful how we deal with folks, the spirit that's in us. And sometimes if we're not careful, our zeal gets in the way of what God's wanting to do. And we get so interested, John, in seeing somebody get right with the Lord that we're a lot more interested in them than they are in it. And we'll be pushing, prodding, pulling. And the Holy Ghost ain't even moving. That's just your spirit. And if your spirit's the one that draws them, Jordan, it'll never work. I don't know why we're here today, but we're here. And just be real careful, folks. Be real careful. I'm not saying don't share the gospel. But give them Jesus and understand that He can do the rest. Invite people to church to hear the gospel. Faith still comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You share the Word of God with them, leave it alone. Okay? Let God do His thing. Only He can do it. So when the Holy Spirit does His work, His message is always about Christ. He testifies of Christ. Just understand that. And so as we come back to 1 John here, he says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So you get somewhere and somebody stands up and they start teaching or preaching, And they're preaching these things that we're talking about, and they're uplifting Christ and magnifying Him and wanting Him to be seen. It's good. But anything apart from that, you just got to be real careful. You've got to be real careful of the message. And while we're here, I've already said a little bit of this. A lot of our churches, I'm afraid, are not preaching the Jesus of our Bible. And Kevin preached a whole message, had them little figurines out. I don't know if y'all remember that. But that's the Jesus that people want. And they like fire insurance. I mean, we all do, right? But, I mean, I don't know of anybody. I know of nobody that if you asked them, they'd tell you they want to go to hell. And be honest in it. I mean, they might be a smart aleck. But if they understand what hell is, they don't want to go. And, man alive. But today, we've got a lot of people preaching different gospels. And the big thing, like I said, they want a Jesus, but they don't want a Lord Jesus.
That's right.
They like Jesus, but they don't like the Lord part. And I hope that's nobody here this morning, but Acts 2:36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus,
yep,
whom ye crucified, both.
Hey.
Both.
Yep.
Lord and Christ. He'll be both. He won't be one. He's both. He is both. And, you know, I can't help but you think about that Philippian jailer over there. If you know in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas were down there in the jail, they began to worshiping, and there was an earthquake, and the jail was open, and everybody, you know, the jailer came in. He was supposing that they were all loose, right? And he thought, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to pull out my sword. All those things that went on. And Paul said, you know, don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And whatever happened there, I wish we could see more of that picture, but there was a light that come on in that fella. And he asked him, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, I don't know. There's something different about you fellas. And whatever you want, or whatever you've got, is what I want. He says, what do I have to do to get what you have? What must I do to be saved? How many of you know the message that he received that day?
Yep.
It was a real simple one. That was probably the shortest sermon that you'll ever read about. He said, believe on the Lord. He didn't say believe on Jesus. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.
Yep.
You notice that Paul put the Lord first. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you're going to get in, you're going to have to understand who He is.
Yep.
He can't be the Son of God and not be Lord.
Not
How does that even make sense?
No.
But people act like He's just their buddy, their pal, that when they need something, they'll call Him.
Yep.
But when they don't, I mean, just like them little dolls. That's their Savior.
Praise God. Stay on, bro.
Is that real? Is that what the Bible teaches us about Christ? He is the Lord. He's to have the preeminence. Folks, our society is in such a bad shape. That's why we see it like it is. Christ has never become Lord for so many people. And does that mean you're going to be perfect? No. But you're going to recognize who He is. And He has to be Lord. He's got to call the shots. You got to understand that. And when you get saved, what you're doing is you're relinquishing you. That's what you're doing. What do you think repentance is? You're turning to God from something. You can turn to God from idols. Your idol might be yourself. But it's not that you quit all your sins, but you just relinquish the authority. And you're relinquishing it to God. And it's because of Christ that we can do that. And so just understand that it is so important. Philippians chapter 2, Very, very familiar passage today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Does that sound like the Christ of most people today? No. "But every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what?
Lord.
Lord. To the glory of God the Father." You want to give God glory in your life? Guess what you need to make sure is happening? That Christ is the Lord. That means that He's calling the shots. He's the ruler. That's how we glorify God. That's how we do those good works that we hear about, that we read about over there in, was it Matthew 5:16? It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," and do what? "Glorify your Father which is in heaven." How do you do that? You make Christ Lord. You've got to do that. It's so important. And this is the Jesus that we read about in our Bible. Same one, same God in the flesh. This is the one that the Holy Spirit will testify of. He didn't just come to be Savior, but He came to be Lord. And so many people try to separate that today. You can't. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, Paul said it this way: "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." And he says, "And let everyone, right, that nameth the name of Christ, do what? Depart from iniquity." That's making Christ Lord. That's relinquishing your desires for His. He is God, folks. And therefore, He is Lord. He's deity. He is deity. And you can accept it or not. But I liked how Jonah put it when he wrote it. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Jonah said this. He said, "Salvation is of the" what? "Lord." If you're going to get salvation, guess who you got to go through? The Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one. That's how you get saved.
Right.
It's through the Lord. If you try to come around that part, I don't know how you get it. Just don't work, does it? Folks, I wasn't trying to hurt nobody this morning. But we've got so many false teachers. We've got so many false testimonies out in the world that are constantly pulling for not just us, but our kids, our churches, our young converts. I mean, all these things. And if we're not careful and we don't guard against all this stuff, it'll hurt the church. And I don't want to lose my kids into this worldly belief in Jesus. I don't want Jesus to be just their buddy. I don't want Him to just be somebody that they pull out like a spare tire. I want Him to be what their life revolves around. I mean, I really want Him to be in the center. And that's hard to do. I understand. It's hard for me to do that in my life. It's hard to do that in our family. But I want my kids to see that that's what's important, is making sure that He is Lord. Not just in name, you understand. You can say Lord and not mean it. But the point is that you understand who He really is. And that's so important today. Folks, thank you for your good attention. I hope that makes you think. gives you some things to ponder as you're listening to people, as you're hearing other things out there in the world. I know y'all listen to stuff on Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff. I hate to say that, but I know that's the case. And don't get fooled by that nonsense.
Right. Right.
But how do you not get fooled? You try the spirits and make sure that they're preaching the Lord Jesus the way our Bible teaches it. Folks, we need it bad. I appreciate y'all's good attention. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down the hallway there. Thank y'all so much.